Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your precious word. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for who he is. We thank you for what he has done. We pray for those listening out in Randolph County and the surrounding area. We think of those that are traveling on the highway, those that may be tuning in. We pray that they may be encouraged by thy word, that you might use this message to set forth the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in his name. Amen. This is Mike Moody, and we're with you with our Bible study program here, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry, looking at the impeccability of Christ. The impeccability of Christ. We've been looking at how our Savior is without sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He could not sin. In him is no sin, 1 John 3:5. Now, we'd like to pick up with that theme today of his person and the fact that in him is no capacity to sin. Ones have questioned before saying, well, could he have sinned but just didn't? So that way he would be a really faithful and merciful high priest, that he would really have compassion upon where we are today. And as the scripture points out, that he is able to help us because he is a faithful and merciful high priest. He was made like unto his brethren. But we must go back, as we said earlier in the week, and say that when we have a difficult question like this, we must not infringe upon other fundamental doctrines of the scripture to arrive at an answer. So we must say by the scripture that Christ did not sin nor could have even sinned. He is impeccable, sinless. Now in John chapter 14, just as I had quoted from 1 John, speaking of in him is no sin, but in John 14, we find ourselves there in the upper room ministry, and we see there, as from chapters 13 to 16, we see that Christ would be speaking to the disciples early on in this upper room discourse. We see that the one false professor, Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray the Lord Jesus Christ, left. He broke fellowship, you might say, with them. He left. And Satan had filled him to go do this evil work of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he had left, that was when most of this upper room ministry was given out. And in the midst of this, as we find in John 14:30, Christ said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Now, of course, the prince of this world is Satan. And he just stated that he was not going to talk much more with the disciples. Why? Because he was nearing the hour of the cross. "Mine hour had not yet come," he said many times. And then he started to say in the book of John, "Mine hour has come. Mine hour has come." It was time for the Son of Man to be glorified. So we see here that as he tells his disciples he would not speak with them much more, "For the prince of this world," that Satan, "cometh and hath nothing in me." Now that's very, very important. Satan found nothing in Christ. Nothing that he could taint his person or his work. Satan did find something in Adam and Eve, didn't he? He found the capacity to sin in Eve as he tempted her and got to Adam through her. He found the capacity of sin in Adam and Eve. Remember, they had never sinned. They were not born. They were created. This is very important. Think with me of how Adam was created out of the earth. Eve was created out of the flesh. See, Adam was made from the dust of the earth. Eve was brought forth from the side of Adam. God created them. Now, when we think of spiritually speaking, earthly and fleshly things, this is not good. Now, God created in his way, but in a spiritual application, think of Adam and Eve, earthly and fleshly. You see, they had the capacity to sin, didn't they? They were not sinners when they were created. But they had the capacity to sin, and they yielded to Satan and sinned. the first sin of mankind. But as our blessed Savior said, the prince of this world hath nothing in me. You see, he knew that Satan could find nothing in him that had the capacity to sin. So here we see a marked difference between Christ and Adam. Think of the meal offering, the great offerings of the Old Testament found in the early parts of Leviticus. And one of those would picture the person of Christ. Those offerings, the burnt offering, sin offering, trespass offering, the peace offering, these things pictured the person and work of Christ. But the one that I'd like to think of is the meal offering. It's called the meat offering in the King James, but it was a meal offering in the sense of flour, fine flour. There was no blood mentioned in this particular offering like the other ones. And as these offerings were a picture of Christ to come, remember the Old Testament, they offered up animal sacrifices for to temporarily cover the sins of the people until Christ came and put away sin by his one death and his shedding of his perfect and innocent blood. Now there's no need to offer up animal sacrifices. Christ has been the sacrifice, and once he sacrificed himself, that was the end of sacrifices. He is set down now at the right hand of the majesty on high. But the meal offering was fine flour. There was not a blood sacrifice in this offering. But if you remember, it was evenly distributed. There was oil mingled in there, speaking of the Holy Spirit. It was even. It was balanced. Now this speaks of the perfect person of Christ. Him as the great meal offering, perfectly even. No lumps. Perfectly balanced, a perfect sifting of the flour, you might say. And then that oil mingled in there. Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit at all times. And then think of how in that meal offering there was no leaven. Leaven in Scripture speaks of sin. There was no leaven found in the meal offering. My friend, there is no leaven found in Christ. Again, there's no capacity for Christ to have sinned when he was here on earth. Now, let's again take a few minutes and consider Adam. Let's consider the differences and the similarities between Christ and Adam. Ones would say, as they would suggest, saying, well, Christ didn't sin, but he could have sinned. Therefore, that's how he's a faithful and merciful high priest. That's how he is able to have compassion upon my situation, because he was just like me. Well, now, there's error in this. Because the important thing when we consider Christ and Adam is not the similarities, but the differences. The Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, speaks of Christ as the second Adam, and speaks of him as the last man. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians with me and turn to chapter 15, look at verses 45 to 49. Now here, it will give a distinct list of differences between Adam and Christ. Now, we see here a few differences. I'll just mention some. Christ came, and he was called, as he was born of a virgin, holy. What we call holy humanity. Now, Adam was not called holy. He was called an innocent, upright man in Ecclesiastes, but he was not called holy. We see that Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit, whereas Adam was created from the earth. We see that Christ was not a creation like Adam was, but he was the Creator from heaven. Just like we mentioned earlier, Eve came from the flesh as well. She was created, whereas Christ is the Creator. We see that Christ was constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, but we cannot say that about Adam. So there are marked differences between Christ and Adam. And the reason we point this out is because sometimes one would say, well, Adam came into this earth, he was created, and he started off with no sin, but yet he ended up sinning. He had this capacity to sin. One would suggest and say, well, perhaps this is what Christ, how he was here, that he did not come into the earth with sin, but yet then was he like Adam, they would say? Did he have the ability to go that direction if he chose to? But we must say emphatically no, because again, Adam was created without sin, but yet Christ was born the holy child. He was born the one that is the creator. He was born conceived of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Marked differences between Christ and Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That's Christ. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So there we see the difference between Christ and Adam. Christ being spiritual, Adam natural. 47th verse says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So again, heavenly and earthly, what a difference. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. When we come to know Christ, we're conformed to his image, and we come into the image of the heavenly. Verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So we see here in these verses a great difference. Christ is so much better than Adam. Adam came into this world without sin and did sin, but Christ came into this world without sin, born of a virgin, he had no earthly father, therefore he could not inherit a sin nature. That is the importance of this virgin birth. Behold, we can turn back to Isaiah, and it tells us there that a child was born, but a son was given. Christ is the eternal Son of God. He did not sin. He could not sin. This is the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've enjoyed looking this week at the points thus far of how Christ is impeccable. If we were to turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, perhaps with some last thoughts. There, when it speaks of how our Savior, it tells us that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Well, again, this is a portion people bring up and say, well, he was touched in all points, tempted in all points, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, my friend, it doesn't say he was touched with a feeling of our sins, but with our infirmities. It's interesting to point out that this word infirmity, if you look it up, it's the same word that speaks of the infirmity that Lazarus had. He was sick unto death. It's the word infirmity in John 5, that one that had been sick for 38 years that Christ healed. It's the same word there in 2 Corinthians when it speaks of Paul having a thorn in the flesh, physical infirmity. It's the same word there in 1 Timothy when it speaks about a little wives with stomach ache, speaking of having a stomach ache, you might say. It's the same word there in Acts 28 that speaks of how there is an island with disease. So here, infirmities is not speaking of sin. So when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not touched with our sin. Rather, we see that he came to this earth. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us. He took our sin upon him to pay for it. To pay for our sin. But he himself had no sin, did no sin. As it says again in 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. So thank you for being with us this week. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Please call us if you have any thing to talk to us about or any comments or questions. We really enjoy fellowship. 824-5525 is our phone number.